You're listening to World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. For the last 49 years, brothers Ron and Russell Male have consistently put out avant music that's unique, and it's evolved from rock and roll to synth pop to art rock to genre-defying records like Little Beethoven or The Seduction of Ingrid Bergman, which was a musical. And throughout it, the band has had a knack for flipping pop conventions on their head, proving they'll probably never go out of style. Many people know them from the song This Town Ain't Big Enough for Both of Us. This town ain't big enough for the both of us. But there's a wealth of great Sparks material to discover. I found out about them thanks to their 2015 collaboration with Franz Ferdinand called FFS. That's when I really got into them. Their latest album is called A Steady Drip, 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 and I could not be happier to speak to these musical savants who are absolute saints. Though with a song like Please Don't F Up My World closing out the new album, they're still just as biting lyrically as they've always been. We'll chat with Ron and Russell after this, a song called All That, taken from the new album, A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip. It's Sparks on World Cafe. You ignore my gaping flaws, and I see you and I'm in awe. Look outside, it's very nearly dawn. Hey, help me out, I can't find my left shoe. All that we've done, we've lost, we've won. Here on the World Cafe, a special version of the World Cafe, it's the Home Cafe, because we are all socially distancing right now with Sparks, our guests. That is All That. That's the first song that you'll hear if you listen to their new album, A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip. Here with Ron and Russell. Gentlemen, welcome back to the program. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, so first off, let's start, Russell, with you. Where are you located and how are you doing?
I'm in Los Angeles and, you know, doing as well as can be expected like everybody under the circumstances. But yeah, we're hanging in, just trying to be as productive as we can be, despite all the obvious limitations that are around now. But yeah, in Los Angeles, it's a bright, sunny, and warm day. So when the weather is nice like this, you kind of makes you feel in a bit better spirits.
Yeah, totally understand. I'm in Philadelphia with the Home Cafe. Ron, where are you?
I'm in my place about 10 minutes drive from Russell's. So it's a really odd kind of situation now, because I usually commute every day to his place to record, but just through the social distancing orders, I've kind of been working from my place rather than working in his studio. But, you know, for the first 2 weeks, I kind of felt a certain just paralysis. It was just, but now I'm trying to fight through that and try to come up with, you know, just some new music. And, you know, just during this period, I've also kind of found, you know, it sounds pretentious to say it, but just the profound effect that music has on you. You know, you kind of forget that sometimes, and just during periods like this, music, what it really means kind of becomes so much more apparent to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a really great point. I read a great article about how people are going back to music of times that are important to them as comfort music. What's been comfort music for you, Ron? Like what can you give me an example of something that you've been listening to that's been,
well, I kind of always return to Miles Davis in some ways. I mean, it isn't always comfortable music to listen to as far as being soothing, but I've always drawn from just his drive and his kind of necessity to keep changing, and that those kind of things are something that really inspired me in the past, and they do now.
Cool. We're talking to Sparks here on World Cafe. Russell, what have you been listening to musically? That's been bringing you a connection? Because as Ren pointed out, it might not be solace that you're looking for.
Be honest. be honest.
Okay, you want an honest answer? I'm going to give you an honest. No, I've been BTS.
Wow.
I'll repeat that. BTS. It's funny because, I mean, I'm, you know, not always 100%, you know, can say that the music is, you know, is something that's, you know, you've got to hear this music. But there's something about the whole community that they have that's something that's kind of astounding. And I mean, especially now, too, when the whole world is sort of disconnected, this Korean band has managed to kind of unite the world with all the kind of, you know, undertones of racism around the world and, you know, in America and everything. And to see that a band from Korea could be the ones that kind of unite the world in a certain way. And like, I know a lot of people that maybe they listen to World Cafe, it's maybe they're less on their radar, and I completely understand, but there's just something as a cultural phenomenon that's kind of astounding that this band that, you know, we're not supposed to, you know, admit to having any inkling of, you know, appeal from them, you know, is, you know, playing baseball stadiums in every country in the world, multiple nights of baseball stadiums. So anyway, it's my guilty pleasure.
Now let's for our World Cafe audience who might not be familiar with the Korean supergroup BTS, let's listen to a little bit of Fire right now. So maybe not what you might expect, but I absolutely agree. They are like global like phenomenons. And I think it's interesting because normally we look at it from an English standpoint in the sense that it's either British or American.
Exactly.
Is this sort of sense of our point. By the way, I would be remiss if we didn't. What Miles Davis song are you spending time with, Ron, that would be an interesting counterpoint to the BTS since we've just listened to that.
Wow. Well, I like all the, I mean, I even like the more modern stuff, like the On the Corner album and those sorts of albums. But I always kind of go back to the Gil Evans albums, you know, and, you know, Porgy and Bess and Sketches of Spain and all. I love the lushness of that, because sometimes musical arrangements that are lush are kind of also just overly, I don't know, sentimental and MOR, but the combination of Gil Evans and Miles Davis doing lush musical works is something that, you know, just it really feels right at these times.
On the World Cafe, let's listen to a little bit of Summertime here on World Cafe from Miles Davis. You're listening to The World Cafe. We're here with Sparks. The new album is called A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip. You know, it's crazy to think about this when thinking about your musical history. 50 plus years of musical collaboration between the two of you. I'm very curious, is there a song that you guys wrote that you felt never got the attention that it necessarily deserved, in the sense that people didn't recognize it for being as good as you hoped it would have been? And I know you don't share a brain, so I don't expect it to line up.
Well, I always really liked like songs like How Do I Get to Carnegie Hall. I thought that was, you know, a pretty unique combination of elements, and maybe too unique for most people. But we're kind of always searching for that kind of combination of things, and sometimes you kind of, you know, find that. And that in that particular song, it was one of those ones where it was like, this is something that we haven't ever really done before at all. And so, you know, I was really particularly proud of that song from that album.
And I really liked, and it was the one that Chris Blackwell immediately had responded to, was The Rhythm Thief.
Cool. Well, let's listen to a little bit of a medley then with The Rhythm Thief and How Do I Get to Carnegie Hall from 2002's Little Beethoven. It sparks here on World Cafe. There you go, a little bit of a sampling from Little Beethoven, two songs, The Rhythm Thief and How Do I Get to Carnegie Hall, here on the World Cafe. Sparks, A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip is the name of the new album, hanging out with Ron and Russell. And yes, we are socially distancing here for the Home Cafe, or the home edition of the World Cafe. So, gentlemen, congratulations on Annette, which, fantastic, a film with some incredible actors. Tell us a little bit about the movie and how it came to be. In your incredibly diverse career, you guys have done a lot of different things, but it is cool to see that your own musical film is coming out.
Yeah, we had had, about 8 years ago, we had done what we thought was going to be Spark's next album, and it was a narrative project that we had kind of been, you know, really enticed into working in sort of a narrative way after another project that we'd done prior to that, called The Seduction of Ingmar Bergman, which was a project which we were commissioned by the Swedish National Radio to do a radio musical. So after having done that, we were also, you know, we were torn about what we wanted to do at the period of the next Sparks album. And we were, you know, excited about the idea of, you know, a narrative again. And so 8 years ago, we came up with this narrative story that's all music, but tied together by a narrative line that runs through it. And we thought that was the end of it. It would come out as just a audio piece. And then we went to the Cannes Film Festival also at that same year. And we met the French director, Léos Carax, who had used one of Spark's songs called How You Getting Home in his last movie, which is called Holy Motors. And in any case, a mutual friend had said, would you like to meet him? And we said, oh, that'd be amazing, because just to thank him for using our song in his movie. And then we got along really well with him. We had a really, really nice time at Cannes chatting and stuff. And then we got back to LA and we thought, God, we have this narrative piece, why don't we just send it to Léos and just, you know, not expecting anything. And we sent it to him. Lo and behold, he said, came back to us a couple weeks later, said, I'd really like to direct this as a movie, as his next film. We went, you know, we kind of were floored, because things don't tend to happen that way. And especially for us, we've never had that kind of situation.
The music had also already been completely written for the thing, so it didn't take a lot of imagination for him to judge whether he wanted to do it or not. It wasn't just the story. It was, you know, the whole thing had already been basically written.
But that's kind of incredible. Like, that's the LA stuff dreams are made of, you know. We're on a pitch with a music and movie put together, and someone like goes, "Oh yeah, that's exactly what I want." That doesn't happen, right?
No, and also that it was done with just the creative types, as opposed to having agents and managers and film companies involved to say yes or no. It was just the two creative principals, Sparks and Leos Carax. And then with having that kind of unity between both of our sides and that much passion for it, you know, and it's been 8 years since he said yes. And in those 8 years, some amazing things happened. Like Adam Driver was approached to do the lead character, and he said yes. And we went, "What? No, that's not possible." And he was just, you know, and it was right at the time, it was about 4 years ago, that he said he really wanted to be involved. And his stock was sort of rising at the time, where he was now, Mr. Star Wars man, yeah, and all of that. And so we're going, you know, it was great for him. We're thinking, is he ever going to want to do this film, which is more, you know, it's a really special, not to say that Star Wars isn't special, but this is sort of a really unique project, especially for him. But to his credit, it was amazing that he stuck with the passion for doing this film for over 4 years. And we met with him and discussed the stylistically how we all thought the singing and the character should be. And he was really on the same wavelength with us, just wanting it to be, not sort of Broadway in the pejorative term of, you know, sense of Broadway, where it's kind of tomorrow, you know, not being that kind of thing. It's more it's really a more stylized way of singing and more naturalistic. And he was totally on the same page with us. And then at last year, the movie was shot. It was all shot in Europe, in Belgium and Germany, and then a little bit in Los Angeles. And we got to see him performing these things and singing these things that I had just been singing for 8 years. I was doing the voice of that lead character. Now is handed over to Adam Driver. And it was just absolutely astounding what he did, both in an acting way and then a singing way.
Marianne Cotillard is the other star, and she was unbelievable. She plays a opera star in the film, and she, you know, it's just amazing. I mean, for us, we're kind of naive to that whole sort of world, and for us to write something and then actually both have it made and have kind of these movie stars performing our material, it was just surreal. You know, you kind of keep pinching yourself.
Oh, it seems like it's a labor of love, 8 years in the making with Hollywood stars of the finest caliber. I'm sure just like a lot of World Cafe and Sparks fans, we're excited for it to find our way into our lives one way or another, hopefully sooner than later. Yep, absolutely. We're talking to Sparks here on World Cafe. So this is it's kind of remarkable. Edgar Wright is I'm a huge fan of his work. And, you know, when news came out that he was doing a documentary about you guys, I was super curious about how that arrangement came to be, in the sense, was that something that was a conversation? Because it strikes me as that you guys would meet him and become fast friends, and then at some point he would admire his work for you and want to make a documentary. But maybe that's fan fiction. How did that actually work out?
No, you kind of hit it right on the head. your appraisal. No, it was actually something very close to that. Edgar came to one of our concerts in LA several years back, and after the show came back and just introduced himself, so he's a huge fan of the band, and we were kind of floored. Just that was enough, knowing, you know, because we really like his films as well. I just think his sensibility is really cool, and that he,
by the way, I should say Baby Driver, Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, like, yeah,
Scott Pilgrim versus the World, yeah, his stuff is pretty unique and really, you know, really special. And he incorporates music also in a lot of his films in a really cool and special way. And so we were just, you know, just that he bothered to come to a show, first of all, and then to say that he's a fan of Sparks. And he was introduced to Sparks too, growing up in England, but not from the first go round with Kimono My House. That era, he was introduced with the Number One in Heaven album was the first album that he picked up on Sparks. And then he obviously became fully immersed. Well, he became fully, not obviously, but he became fully immersed after that point. And so in any case, that was kind of our first introduction to Edgar. And then we played another year, probably a year later, we played in LA and Edgar Wright's back at the concert again, and came back after the show. And he said, you know, since that last time I met you guys, I was thinking, would you guys want to be up for me doing a documentary on Sparks? And we kind of went, what? You know, and so we said, it'd be amazing. And it's not that we were kind of, you know, hoping to have a documentary made of Sparks, because we'd been approached before by some folks. And, you know, it was never kind of an angle that we thought that other people had proposed to us that was going to really sort encapsulate what we thought, if there ever were to be a documentary on Sparks, you know, that it was the right angle or in the right person's hands, because we would rather kind of keep things more mysterious than have it just sort of be a, you know, just a kind of a dull bio about the band. You know, they were born here and then they, you know, whatever. And so Edgar really convinced us that he wanted to do something special that would not only kind of still keep a bit of the mystery of the band, but also to do something in a way that was going to be sort of a calling card just for him to get the gospel out, spread the gospel about the band, because he's so passionate about Sparks. And we thought, wow, it's amazing. And we just thought in his hands that it would be the right time, the right person to be doing a documentary on the band. So it's pretty cool, pretty comprehensive, and something special for us.
I think that's fantastic, because I think one of the hardest things when it comes to self-reflection or letting someone take control and take a look back at your life is that you don't get it represented properly, you know, especially if you're protective of your material. That being said, with all of the diehard fans, let's play your biggest hit just for the heck of it, so people know and are reminded. This town ain't big enough for the two of us. Let's play a little bit of Sparks here on World Cafe. This town ain't big enough for the both of us. Here on the World Cafe with Ron and Russell, it's Sparks. The new album is called, and this is, I love this, A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip. Because today, in today's environment, in today's age, everything feels like it is slowly, it doesn't come at once. It comes a song at a time. So we're going to end with one for the ages. And I just am curious, one about the album title and then what the motivation for One for the Ages was.
Well, it seemed like A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip was kind of like in the air somehow, you know, even in politics where things were coming out. Nothing was ever revealed in one fell swoop. It was always revealed in kind of small bits. And so, you know, that it kind of, that kind of term, you know, it's been around for a while, but it just seemed very much of the moment. And then also, you know, it probably kind of has something to do with even with our longevity, where there's sometimes the faucet is open a little further than a drip, but that there's this kind of this steadiness to what we've done over time. And so that, you know, those kind of things kind of went into it. And and the song One for the Ages, you know, we've had a couple other songs with the general theme of this where somebody kind of is in a position of dreaming that there will be that moment where they will achieve, you know, the goal that they've set themselves out for. Like the person in this is just an office worker who's working on a piece that will be one for the ages, and he will be seen as one for the ages at one point. And he kind of imagines his fellow office workers at some point getting together and saying, oh, we knew all along that he was one for the ages, when, you know, they never said that at the time.
Let's listen to a little bit of One for the Ages from Sparks from their new album here on World Cafe.
My eyes showed the strain of receiving. It's one for the ages.
You're listening to World Cafe with Sparks, One for the Ages from A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip. We're talking to Ron and Russell. Guys, I appreciate you taking the time. A Steady Drip, 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 available digitally, out physically very, very soon. Ron, Russell, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Real pleasure.
All the best.
Sparks, ladies and gentlemen, this is the World Cafe.